Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Time now, 4:36 p.m. There's a bunch of you folks out there already got your car keys sitting ready, your briefcase is packed, you got your lunch pail in your hand, and you're ready to head back to the house and get into that go-home traffic. Let me just tell you, if you're thinking about what you want to do for dinner, or if you're thinking about, hey, tomorrow morning when I'm coming in, I want something besides that biscuit from the drive-thru. Let me just tell you, you might want to consider Just Love Coffee Cafe. I am not kidding. I love going there. I've been to both locations, one on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville, the other one out in Hughes Road in Madison. Just Love Coffee Cafe not only has the best coffees, I'm talking about all the best roasts, some of which right now are done for the holiday season, by the way. You've got special roasts just for the holiday season. They can grind the beans for you. You can take them home and grind them yourself. But they've also got all the cappuccinos and the lattes and the mochas. And listen, the coffees, yes, but the menu, breakfast, lunch, and dinner menus, so cool. Literally, the wraps, the sandwiches, the breakfast you can have for dinner, the dinner you can have for breakfast. You've got anything you would want to have in terms of just good, solid, you know, kind of comfort food fare in a place where you can sit with the Wi-Fi, read a book, visit with friends, or just pick it up to go. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Check them out. Hughes Road in Madison. And over on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville, Just Love Coffee Cafe. All right, I'm moving to the final segment of the Triple Dipper. By the way, Yaffe, excellent job on the Grand Council. Thank you, brother, for being there. That was pretty fun. I appreciate you chiming in, man.
It was an honor to be a part of it. I was with the big boys for once. It was good.
You are one of the big boys. We just haven't had you on the Grand Council. That's all.
I don't know. I just felt honored.
Well, anyway, it was very cool. I'll tell you how that came about, too, just as a funny aside. So, do you remember back when, before my show started, I was subbing in for you one day? And literally, I was right here in the studio doing all the things I do right now, but dadgum if my internet didn't go down while I was 1 hour into your show. And I was like, holy cow, what do I do? The rookie lost power. I got nothing. So Dale was at the studio. He jumped in there and sort of took the show for the time being. Well, Dale didn't have any content ready because he hadn't planned on doing it. So Dale just calls, says, I'm calling you on the phone. And he called Jeff Poore. And we wound up doing that for like the next hour. And it was great. And so I decided, okay, we're going to have a segment on my show. It's going to call the Grand Council. I'm going to have them back every time. An accident of the internet spawned the Grand
Council.
Sounds
like it was an act of God. God willed that to happen.
And you know, you deserve some credit because you were letting me sub your show that day. That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, listen, number three on the Triple Dipper for the day. Not that it was number three in importance. It was just number three because that's the way I got to it. But number three on the Triple Dipper today is, where are we vulnerable? Have you thought about this? I mean, you're hearing things like on my show, I talk a lot about, foreign policy, national defense, military issues. I talk about things like, our near peer adversaries being China and Russia. Where are they on the world stage right now? What's happening in North Korea? Things that are going on in Syria. I mean, just even recently, like yesterday, kind of flying under the radar here, no pun intended, U.S. forces took down an Iranian drone that was making its way, an armed drone making its way towards a base where we have 200 Americans in Syria. Or how about North Korea, which has been posturing and threatening once again? At the meantime, North Korea is also experiencing a major starvation period where they are in a famine that's harkening back to some of the major famines they've had in the past. Well, that's a dangerous time for a rogue nation to be because they need something. They need food, and they're not willing to do it in normal means, so who knows what they're going to do. Then you got other issues like Iran, not wanting to negotiate on their nuclear arms and still calling for the death of Israel and the death to the USA. And then you've got things like the Afghanistan debacle and where that put us on the world stage while Russia and China do the things they do, like on the borders of Ukraine or in the South China Sea or posturing against Taiwan. All of that to say, the world is a dangerous place. But are there means by which the United States could be crippled or vulnerable in a non-open warfare status? The answer is yes. Let me tell you a few things. Things you might want to consider about in our daily lives, what we experience, how dependent our society is upon technology and other things. You've seen, for instance, here's a story that I pulled off of a, and by the way, most of this came from what I would call non-traditional periodicals. This one comes from a thing called the Cypher Brief. The Cipher Brief reports as of just a couple days ago, the supply chain is a perfect asymmetric threat. Asymmetric means it's not something that you can see when the troops are facing each other on a line to a line. It's not like you have old trench warfare where the front lines are where the front lines are. No, it's asymmetric, meaning it's all around you. All right, so this particular expert from the Cyber Initiatives Group is talking about the fact that General Stanley McChrystal recently gave a brief in which he said that he is very concerned in the issue of cybersecurity and what it could mean to America's supply chains. Have you seen how disruptive it's been here of late? Well, that's not a dismantling of the supply chain. That's a log jamming, all right? But what would happen if an attack came down in a cybersecurity manner that froze up our systems and our ability to track and to ship goods and services to the various parts of our country? What would it take if we couldn't tell where the goods we need for the stores where we buy our food and other essentials, I'm not even talking about luxuries, it's essentials. If we couldn't track their whereabouts and food spoiled before it got to the store because they couldn't find it in the warehouse because no more of the electronics that govern our supply chain were available. I mean, at some point we'd have to get back to stubby pencils. But the end of this article from Cipher Brief says, the complexity of the global supply chain is the creation of open economies and democrat societies, and unless it is secured, it will ultimately undermine them. Think about that. One of the things that could easily happen are cyber attacks upon some of the key elements, the shipping, the receiving, the storage of our supply chain. What would that do to our society if there was a crippling of the supply chain? All right, let me move to another one. Think about this. GPS systems, global positioning systems. GPS systems, have you ever stopped to think about how much is reliant upon GPS now? GPS was originally created through the military. And right now, if you're going to have a JDAM missile and it's going to hit on target, it's going to be because it's GPS guided. A cruise missile launched from afar is going to get to its target because of GPS coordination. Troops on the battlefield are now tracked by their GPS systems. But what about the rest of society? Well, here's a story from The Atlantic. This one is actually a couple of years old. I pulled this first because of the next story that I'm going to bring to you afterwards. But in June of 2016, The Atlantic was writing a story about the fact that just that year, in 2016, as the U.S. Air Force was taking one of its, just one of our constellation of GPS satellites offline, that an incorrect time was uploaded to several others, got them all out of sync, and it was like in the less than amount of time for a bullet to leave the chamber, the GPS system got out of whack. Well, what happened right then was it was a minute error in that particular case. It only lasted about 12 hours. And while it went unnoticed by some people, there were a lot of things going on around the world. Panicked engineers in Europe, it says, had equipment that wouldn't work. Global telecommunications began to fail. The BBC digital radio was out for 2 days. In Canada, the police, fire, and EMS radio equipment stopped functioning, all because of one time being uploaded incorrectly to a GPS satellite. Well, here's the deal. And I'm learning this too as I'm reading this article from The Atlantic. It says that despite the name Global Positioning System, it's really not about maps, it's about time. Each satellite in the constellation has multiple little atomic clocks in it. They're all synchronized with each other. They do what's called a Coordinated Universal Time, or UTC. It's the time standard used across the world, right down to the nanosecond. Well, these satellites continually broadcast their time and position information down to Earth, and all the GPS receivers in the world pick them up, and everything from iPhones to tractors. Like, I didn't know this. I was talking to someone who farms recently, and you know, so many farms now have these long track rows for row crop farming. Long track. And you got to make sure the rows are straight. Well, they do it by GPS now. They travel from one end of these huge rows for farming by GPS so that when they turn, they're going to go in a straight line, straight back. Well, listen to this. What if all of these were wiped out? At that point, telecom networks go down because cell towers can't be synchronized. Electric power grids are often run on GPS. How about this? The finance sector uses GPS timing systems to timestamp all ATM, credit card, and high-speed market transactions. Oh, yeah. Computer networks are synchronized. Digital television and radio, Doppler radar for weather reporting, seismic monitoring, multi-cameras for film production. All these things have GPS, not to mention what it does to our military. Well, this article from The Atlantic goes on to say that we could have some low-level attacks on that. We could have some accidental attacks on that, and then we could have some potential attacks on that, which brings me to the next story that piqued my interest in doing this entire segment. Just about 2 weeks ago, a periodical called GPS World, titled Russia Issues a Threat to GPS Satellites. You hearing me? All those things I told you that we rely upon for our day-to-day life, the ability to get money out of our banks, the ability to have transactions, the ability to have cell phones that work, the ability to have missiles to hit their targets. The Kremlin warned it could blow up 32 GPS satellites with its new anti-satellite technology they call ASAT. It tested it on November 15th of this year on a retired Soviet satellite. Russia then claimed on state television that its new ASAT missiles could obliterate NATO satellites and, quote, blind all of their missiles, planes, and ships, not to mention their ground forces. It means, said Russian Channel 1 TV host Dmitry Kiselyov, it means that if NATO crosses our red line, it risks losing all 32 of its GPS satellites at once. I'm telling you, folks, I got a couple more pieces of how we could be at risk, but I just gave you two right there that should make your hair stand on end. The vulnerabilities of our supply chain. You've seen a little bit of disruption this year. The vulnerabilities of our GPS satellite systems. What would that do? When we get back from this break, you have to go ahead and move us to a break, brother, but if you get back from this break, I'm going to talk about our power grid, and for that matter, even what happens with the U.S. dollar. Are we vulnerable? I would say potentially. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, playing right here on WVNN, the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama, and the biggest show across the afternoons in North Alabama is this one, Right Side Radio, and it's because of this audience, and I'm pretty pleased to say, just check the numbers, and we are now over 17,000 downloads on the podcast version of the show, meaning that if you miss a piece and you want to just, you know, check it out later or rehear a piece or send it to a friend or something like that, all you got to do is go to our website, rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. And there's links on there where you can download. We put them in like 10, 20-minute segments, so you can go grab a piece of the show. If you want to hear the Grand Council again, or you want to hear a monologue or an interview with somebody, you just go grab that piece again and listen to it. Well, so far, just in the few months we've been on the air, we're at like 17,100 downloads as of today. And I'm telling you right now, folks, I get 20,000 downloads by the end of September, end of December. I'm giving away more T-shirts. We're just going to be doing it. It blesses me. I'm gonna tell you right now. Did not see this coming, by the way. Yaffe, I don't know how long have you been in radio, bro? I know you moved here from out of state. How long have you been in radio?
About 10 years.
Golly, see, I mean you've been doing this a bit, but I mean I've been doing this like 6 months. And if you had asked me a year ago, hey Phil, you think you'll ever have a radio show? I'd have laughed. I'm still kind of taken aback that I'm even doing this, but you know, whatever. Rookie, but I'm enjoying it. I'm a good time.
you don't be so humble. You're doing good.
Thank you, brother. I'm having a good time. They're still letting me talk. That means something, I guess.
That's what I tell myself every day.
Yeah, no, they gave me a microphone, honey. Look, I'm still talking. Hey, listen, last two pieces I've got in the Triple Dipper for the day in this whole segment of are we at risk? Yes, we are. There are segments of our society that, in my opinion, bear risk. I mentioned several to you already. Our GPS satellite systems and what that could do to us overall should they have been harmed or taken down. What would it mean in the event of that happening, and the fact that Russia has already issued threats against it? All right, that's one. How about the supply chain? The fact that our supply chain, according to General Stanley McChrystal most recently, creates a massive asymmetric threat. If you can't get goods and services in and around your country, basic supplies become far more localized. And if you don't have the local needs, because we are a transient society, I mean, we move things.
Just because you buy bread at the grocery store doesn't mean that bread was baked anywhere near your house. So the idea that your supply chain could be disrupted is a big deal. Well, how about this one? Looking at an article right now, and I pulled this off of an energy periodical. Title of it is How America's Power Grid is Vulnerable to Undetected Cyber Attack. Yeah. And it references right off the bat in the article that sometime in 2019 at the Port of Houston, there was a huge electrical transformer. It weighed like 250 to 500 tons. It was destined for the Washington Area Power Administration's Colorado substation. And it was seized by the Department of Energy. And the transformer was taken to a different location and has not been heard of since. Well, it would have been necessary for the systems. All right, it's believed the transformer was grabbed because it had fears of what they called backdoor electronics, which could be activated. And those were all by Chinese manufacturer. Okay, take all that into account now. In May of 2020, then-President Donald Trump, do you miss him now? I do. Then-President Donald Trump signed Executive Order 13920, and it directed utilities not to purchase their bulk power systems from our adversaries. And it believed that this order was a result of what was found in that transformer that was seized at the Port of Houston. Okay, listen. What's happening here and what I'm telling you is, it's amazing. You stop and think about it. Hospitals, life support systems, basic functions like air conditioning and lights in your home, the ability to cook, all of these things run off of our electrical power grids. And if you don't have electricity and you can't get it restored in good order, in good time, then you are vulnerable as a modern society. Now, there are places where I've been in the Far East and others that have rolling blackouts. Those are disruptive enough. I mean, you're in the middle of doing something and then the power shuts down and you have to wait 4 hours for it to come back on. We've also experienced, every one of us has experienced, the storm comes through and next thing you know, your power's out and you're lighting candles. The most significant that I recall was the blizzard of 1993, which blanketed the southeastern states in feet of snow, literally feet. And there were places where people went without power for 2 weeks. But it wasn't because the grid was down. It was because pieces of the grid got fractured and they had to repair it. What would happen if backdoor technology, cyber attacks upon our energy grid, resulted in a takedown of the system? Last one I got. Are we at risk? Article from The Hill states that our national security is in part based upon the U.S. dollar remaining strong, and the fact that there are any number of means by which attacks could be vaunted by other nations by devaluing our currency in the eyes and in the use of the world. I'll leave that there because we're about out of time. What I just gave you, though, was a list of what I would call asymmetric threats to the United States that bad actors could literally bring on without too much trouble. Supply chain, electrical grids, GPS, banking, all of it. All right, folks. We pay attention to details on this show. Mike Yaffe, thanks so much for standing in for Copper today. We appreciate you as always. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We're back tomorrow, 2 to 5 p.m. You got the great one, Mark Levin, coming up next. I'll see you tomorrow.